Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 7. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 13. Listen to God's word. O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me, lest He tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, and if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth, and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies. Awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to the integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow, and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Our subject today, the necessity of God's wrath. Our message today is one that I personally do not enjoy preaching, but I must in order to be true to the souls of mankind. You see, to fail to preach the whole counsel of God will be to do disrepute, to the Word of God, and we certainly don't intend to do that. So our message today will be one that has to be heard, even though it is not very pleasant to preach. As one studies the Bible, one is amazed at the number of references given to God's wrath, God's anger, and God's indignation. These words appear all through the Scripture, over and over and over again. In fact, they appear more times in the Scripture than the words love, loved, and loveth. Yet in the religious circles of today, the concept of God is set forth in this respect, that God is not a God of wrath. This concept is a misnomer and needs to be changed, because man is going to wind up in hell thinking that God will save them, even though they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. In our lesson today, we shall set forth four realities regarding the wrath of God and its necessity. You listen carefully, because to many of you, this is a new study, and you need to listen as for eternity. The first reality regarding the wrath of God in His declaration is the Scripture. It's set forth in its Scriptures, and listen to the words of our text. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verses 39 through 43, where we read, See now that I, even I am He, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven, and say, I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword, and my hand shall take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies, and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives. From the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Now that doesn't sound like the love of God, does it? Well, my radio friend, it's not. God is just as much a God of wrath as he is a God of love. He's just as much a God of indignation as he is a God of mercy. And he's just as much a God of judgment as he is a God of grace. Now, what kind of a Lord are you serving at this hour? Have you fallen hook, line, and sinker for Satan's lie and believe that God is too good to ever send anybody to hell? Well, my friend, people are going to hell every day under the absolute countenance of the Lord God of heaven. You see, God is a God of mercy, but he is also a God of wrath and indignation and judgment. And in our lesson today, we're going to set forth the necessity of God's wrath. Now turn, if you will, and turn to the Word of God in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, where we read, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. These and many other scriptures set forth absolutely, clearly, and forcibly the reality of the wrath of God. To deny such truth is to strip the Lord God of heaven of his attributes and make him a God of nothingness, as well as to necessitate the scrapping of a great portion of the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, the wrath of God is a reality which cannot be ignored. The second reality of the wrath of God is its demonstration at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the wrath of God is merely a mistake and a figment of the mind, then the death of Christ is a mistake, a horrible spectacle which ought to be erased from the annals of human history. But my friend, this is not so. At the cross we see the clear exhibition of the wrath of God against sin revealed. God, being a just, righteous, and holy God, cannot condone sin in any manner. His holiness burns like a fire against it. His justice demands a penalty against sin, while his wrath is a settled, teeming anger that demands punishment. These attributes must be satisfied if God is ever to be satisfied and if he is ever to be just. While these attributes cry out for mercy, cry out for punishment, we find the love, mercy, and grace of God also must be satisfied. Apart from the satisfaction of all these attributes, God cannot be just and the justifier of the ungodly. It is right here that the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ comes in, because at the cross, the Lord God of heaven satisfied all the attributes of God. You see, Christ not only paid for our sin, but Christ also satisfied the demands of God. And only God could satisfy God. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ, being the Lord God of heaven that he is, dwelling in a human body, he could satisfy the claims and the demands of God, and we praise his name that he absolutely did it. Now, you're so dogmatic about it, preacher. Yes, I am. And I want to show you the scripture why I'm so dogmatic about it. Our Lord completely satisfied the Lord God of heaven in every respect. In Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 23, we read these words. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now listen to these words. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see, if God had not been satisfied, the Lord Jesus Christ would never have been resurrected. But because he was, and he is alive, and we serve a living Savior, rest assured of this, all the attributes of God have been satisfied, and God can be just now and the justifier of the ungodly. So no matter who you are, no matter your condition, my sinner friend, there's hope for you, and that hope is found in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the cross of Christ demonstrates the wrath of God, while also setting forth the love of God. God, being just, had to punish sin. God, being love, loves a sinner and yearns to rescue the individual. And we find, and he learns to be reunited with the sinful individual. Yet the only way this could happen was to have the attributes of God, which are arrayed against each other concerning the sinner, be reconciled. God has to be just because it is his nature, and he cannot go against it. God's love also had to be satisfied because God is love, and he cannot go against that. So the cross became the place where righteousness and peace kissed each other. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, this became a reality, and only through him. If Christ had not paid for our sin by enduring the wrath of God upon himself, we would still be under the wrath of God and facing an eternity in the lake of fire. But praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, endured our wrath, took our judgment, suffered our condemnation, and once and for all satisfied all the claims of God. This is what that word propitiation means, where it says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now let me ask you a question at this hour, if I may. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your advocate or your lawyer with the Father? Oh, I hope and pray that He is. If He is not your Redeemer and your lawyer and your advocate, then put it down. You are still under the wrath of God, and it can fall upon you at any moment. The third reality of the wrath of God is that it is determined upon this world. Acts chapter 17 and verses 30 through 31 declares these words, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead." Now I wonder if you caught the import of this verse. God has ordained a day in which He will judge this world in righteousness by the Lord Jesus Christ. God also has guaranteed this reality by the resurrection of the Lord from the dead. The resurrection absolutely guarantees that this world will come before the judgment bar of the Lord God of heaven. This judgment is set. It is irrevocable, and it shall come to pass. Now, where does this put you, my radio friend? It puts you in this category. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not stand in the judgment. If you don't know Christ, you will stand in the judgment before the Lord someday. You see, every individual has an inevitable appointment. Every person is going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face one day. If you don't meet Him face to face in mercy in this life, you're going to stand before the Lord God of heaven at the judgment bar of God at that hour. Your only hope is to flee to the safety of the Lord by repenting of your sin and suing for mercy and the Lord's favor to be bestowed upon you. Outside of Christ, there is no mercy, but through Christ, you can escape the wrath to come. The amazing thing about this reality is that it is closer than anyone realizes at this hour. Yet the vast majority go on as before, thinking they have all the time in the world. And you mark it down. Our world is absolutely and unmistakably heading towards the judgment. And beloved, it's not going to be very long. You see, people today don't believe it. And we find our Lord has given us indications in His Word and across the stage of human history, given us indications telling us of the coming judgment upon this world. One of these signs is the many and frequent earthquakes now coming on this earth. The reason for them is found in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 22, where we read, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." Our earth is a ball of liquid fire on the inside. And rest assured of one thing, this fire is melting down the foundations of the mountains, hence the many earthquakes. They are another sign of the reality of God's wrath soon to be poured out upon this earth. However, there's another reality of the wrath of God and its necessity, and we need to look at it very carefully. We find the last reality of the wrath of God is its discernment by all of God's people. Now, I'm going to go on foreign ground here, so you listen like you've never listened before. Before the Lord saves a sinner, that individual is made to stand before God as a hell-deserving lost sinner under the judgment and wrath of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make this a living reality to the individual. In John chapter 16 and verses 8 through 11, we read, "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." In John chapter 3 and verse 36, we read again, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." Now let me ask you a question right at this hour. Have you ever been made to stand before the Lord, a sinner, under His wrath? If not, you need to find out if the Lord has ever saved you. When my Lord sets out to save a sinner, He awakens that person to the reality of three things. The first, who the sinner is. Second, what the sinner is. And third, the judgment the sinner is under. In bringing the sinner to stand before the judgment bar of God, the Holy Spirit uses the law to condemn the individual. God's Word says very clearly, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." The law condemns the sinner, with the result being the person is made aware of the fact that he is under the wrath of God. You see, my friend, this individual, this becomes a living reality to the individual. The law shuts up the sinner, condemns the sinner, silences the sinner, and sentences the sinner to an eternal death. And every individual comes to this reality when God deals with their heart. The law condemns the person, with the result being the individual knows what it means to be under the wrath of God. You will taste and feel the wrath of God abiding upon you. When this takes place, the sinner begins to seek the Lord. You see, some today try to bring people to Christ by having them repeat a prayer, but my friend, that doesn't work. When God awakens that sinner begins to pray. The sinner begins to seek the Lord. You see, our Lord meets the sinner in repentance, and God meets, and we find the sinner meets God in mercy, and how true this is. Then, in this closing hour, I want to ask you a question. Has this ever happened to you? When Christ becomes a living reality to your heart, your sentence of wrath is gone. You can never again go back under God's wrath. And what a reality it is. And we find the Scripture is fulfilled where it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." And my hope is that you're in Christ at this hour. As I've said before, we'll say again, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. Now, outside of Christ, there's no mercy. Outside of Christ, there's no grace. Outside of Christ, there's no salvation. If you don't know Christ, you sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, and you're the sinner, and don't stop suing until He answers you. My hope is that He will, even at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here, saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.